Today's Shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Chavav. We will begin Mitzvah Be'ezer Hashem on Daf Chavav Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah in the Chasm Sheish Lamachrayis. The Chasm Sheish Lamachrayis, we know throughout Shas, means real estate, property. And the reason why they're called the Chasm Sheish Lamachrayis is because when somebody sells that property, the property is, there's a mortgage, there's a lien on that property, and from there, the halacha is that the property gets one, that's why it's called Yesh L'Machrayis, because of that mortgage to any obligations that a person has, that's why it's called Nechaz M'Shesh L'Machrayis. The Rishonim and Rechroinim already discussed, but if what's meant here, as we just said, is real estate, so why didn't the Mishnah say it explicitly that we're talking about real estate? So one teretz that suggested is that we want to learn from here that not only is real estate nikna kesev shtar chazaka, but anything that's on the real estate, as we're going to learn, also is nikna, can be bought kesev shtar v'chazaka. And therefore, the Mishnah used a more broad statement of the Rishonim also ask, why doesn't our Mishnah include that chalipin is a way that we could buy karka? So the Tosfos already answers that the point of our Mishnah is to show the difference that there is between karka and metatlin. Chalipin is effective both by karka and by metatlin. And that's not what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. The Mishnah is trying to teach us cases where there's a difference between karka and chalipin. Rabbeinu Tam answers that since our Mishnah, we're going to learn in this moment, mentions kesef, chalipin is included in a kinyan kesef. Others suggest that even though chalipin can be effective when one is transferring karka as a kinyan, it is not effective if you're only renting or borrowing karka. And therefore, since it's not effective under those situations, whereas kesef shtar and chazaka are, that's why the Mishnah mentioned kinyan, that's why the Mishnah did not mention chalipin. So again, Nechashim Shesh L'Machrayis, which as we're learning means karka, real estate, nikna b'kesef u'b'shtar u'b'chazaka. Kesef means that the buyer gives some money to the seller. And as all the Rishonim point out, when we speak about kesef, it doesn't mean that the person is paying the entire purchase price of the karka. If somebody's paying the purchase price of the karka, that is, of course, a way that he becomes the owner of the karka. What's meant in our Gemara, when we speak about kesef, is that he gave a pruta, and by the buyer giving the seller a pruta, that's how he becomes the owner of the property. Shtar means that the seller writes a shtar to the buyer that he is selling him the property, and with the transfer of that shtar, that's how the buyer becomes the owner. Chazaka means that the buyer does something in the property that shows that he is the owner of the property, and that's how he becomes, that's why that kinyan would be effective. Ein l'machrayis, but when we speak about metatlin, going back to what we discussed at the beginning of the shir, metatlin, there are no mortgages on. And the reason is because when one sells karka, there's a kol, everybody knows about it. And that's why the people who bought it should know if there's a mortgage on it, and they should be prepared to deal with it. Whereas when you buy metatlin, there is no kol, and that's why there is no lien on them. The way to buy them as ein nikna el b'mashicha, the only way to buy it is with mashicha. Nechasim she'en l'machrayis, but now teaches us the Mishnah, metatlin, Niknin im nechosim sheish lemechrayis. Mishnah teaches us that when you're buying karka, the Mishnah teaches us, do we have now something called kinyan agav? Kinyan agav, which is going to be a part of our shir, means that once I'm buying the real estate and I'm using an effective means of kinyan on the real estate, even though that's not an effective means of kinyan for the metatlin, but teaches us the Mishnah, nechosim she'en lemachrayis niknim im nechosim she'esh lemachrayis b'kas v'shtar b'chazaka. Says Mishnah, the zoykikin as in nechosim she'esh lemachrayis l'shav aleim. The halacha is that ain't nishbon al karkos. One cannot force the other side in the din Torah to swear regarding real estate. That if somebody has a claim to somebody else that you took my real estate, the halach is you can't force him to swear. But let's say you have the din Torah at the same time a matatlin, and a matatlin, the halach is that you can force him to swear, teaches us the Mishnah that the concept of Gilgal Shvua, that once you're swearing on the metatlin, you could force a shvua on the karka as well. Says the Gemara, b'kesef minola. So ask the Gemara, where do we know that kesef is a valid kinyan? Answers the Gemara, because the pasuk says, on mechiski, on mekra, sada b'kesef yiknu. So the pasuk clearly says that fields, property, were bought with kesef. Says the Gemara, v'eim adikishtar. Maybe it's only effective when there was a shtar also included in that transaction. The ksiv, the pasuk over there mentions v'ksoiv b'sefer b'chasim, that this should be signed, sealed, and delivered in a document. Answers the Gemara, iksiv yiknu l'b'soiv. If the word yiknu would have been mentioned at the end, so that indeed would be an indication to the ka'amrit that the sale is only valid until not just that the money was transferred, but there was also a shtar. But hashtu, says the Gemara, diksev yikna mikara. The pasuk used the word yikna at the beginning, before the shtar is at all mentioned. From here we see the kesef kani. It's the kesef that makes the kinyan, and the shtar is only there for raya ba'alma. It's only there to prove that this transaction took place. So Tosfos asks a question. We go back to the beginning of our Masechta, where the Gemara at the beginning of our Masechta wanted to know how we know that Kedushei Kesef are effective. And we learned it from the parasha of Ephraim, when Avram Avinu bought the Maros HaMachpela from Ephraim. And the pasuk says, Nosati Kesef Asada, Kach Mimeni. So the Tosfos asks the Rav Maskil Omar, why doesn't the Gemara use that pasuk as a proof that Kesef is effective? So Tosfos says we can't learn from there, because there it was a Nochri, and Ephraim was a Nochri. So maybe when you're prying real estate from a Nochri, Kesef is effective. How do we know that it's effective also when you're buying from a Jew? So ask the Masha, if we're saying that we can't use the pasuk of Ephraim as a raya, because Ephraim wasn't a Jew, so we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. The way we know that Kedushei Kesef are effective is because we learn from Ephraim, but now we have a question, Ephraim wasn't a Jew. Answers the Masha, we don't learn from Ephraim. We actually learn it from a Gzera Shava. The Gzera Shava of Kicha Kicha. Another pshat that Chedushei Arim suggests, that there it was an outright sale. So maybe Kesef is effective when we're doing a sale. But how do we know in other types of transactions, for example, a gift, how do we know that Kesef can affect the Kinyan even by a gift? That we can't learn from Ephraim. And we want to bring a raya that it's effective in all situations. Another pshat that the Netziv suggests is in the case of Ephraim, as we know, Avram Avinu paid in full. So we will only have a raya from the story of Ephraim that you pay in full, but that doesn't prove that when you didn't pay in full, it should also work. That's why we need to bring this pasuk. The Paradis Yosef says a different pshat. He says, we know that the Maris HaMachpelah was in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, and the Maris HaMachpelah, Eretz Yisrael, is Muchzuk Lavaseinu. Eretz Yisrael is considered the land of our forefathers. So our relationship to anything in Eretz Yisrael is a very, very strong relationship. Since our relationship to anything in Eretz Yisrael is so very strong, that's how we know that Kesef is effective by taking a transfer of that type of property. But how will we know that Kesef is also effective in something that we're just buying, not something that we have a previous relationship to, like the Maris HaMachpelah and Eretz Yisrael? For that, we needed to have a new pasuk where we speak about an outright sale. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, Lo Yishanu, this that we learned, that karka is bought with kesef, the kesef is an effective means of transferring ownership of karka, is only Bakim Shein Kaisim Sishtar, that they don't write normally a deed. Ava Bakim Shein Kaisim Sishtar, if this is a place where normally there's a deed which is included in the transfer of property, Lekana, the sale is not considered a valid kinyan unless there is a shtar as well. However, says the Gemara Parish, that if the buyer explicitly indicated that he should be able to buy this property either with kesef or shtar, Parish, so what he clearly stipulated will be followed, says the Gemara. Kihadar of Idi Bar Oven. The Gemara tells us the story of Idi Bar Oven. Kizovan Ara, when he would buy property, Omar, he would say to the seller, Ibeina Bekaspa Ikni, if I want, I should be able to buy this with Kesef. Ibeina Bishtar Ikni, if I want, I should be able to buy it with a Shtar. And the Gemara explains what he meant to say. If I want to buy it with kesef, to teach us the basla mehedel and matzah drisu, that if you're going to want to reverse the sale, back out of the sale, I have a right to say that once there was a kinyan kesef, it's too late for you to back off. But what he added, ibin b'shtari ikni, he was protecting his position. The ibin l'mehedah, that I want to back out until the shtar was actually given over, hadronabi, I should have a right to back out. The number of ways of understanding this Gemara. The Rat, B'Shem Yesh Oimrim, says that the Gemara means to say that in a place where a shtar is normally written, only a shtar will be effective and not kesef. And the only at that point when the shtar is transferred is there a kinyan. However, the Ran also makes the point that there are two types of shtaris, the two types of documents. There's a shtar mecher, which affects the sale, and there's a shtar kinyan. What we're speaking about here, says the Ran, is a shtar kinyan. The Ramban in the Ritva says that we're speaking about both a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. And he says that even a shtar, they say that even a shtar raya, which is affecting the kinyan, they suggest that until the shtar raya is given over, the kinyan, so there's no, the shtar is not what's making the kinyan. But even though the shtar is not what's making the kinyan, they say that the kesef, which is making the kinyan, is not effective until the shtar raya is given over. And there's a very big discussion amongst the poskim that there's something called taboo in Eretz Yisrael around the world, which means that the deed is registered. And the question that the poskim discuss is a sale of property, even though it was done with kesef, and even though it was done with shtar, the halacha is that it's not considered, is it considered a full-fledged kinyan? Is it considered a full-fledged sale until it's properly registered? There's an interesting question. We also learned in our Mishnah about kinyan chazaka. So the question is, what's going to be the halacha by kinyan chazaka in a place where shtar is written? Is that also going to have the halacha that in a place where shtar is written, the kinyan chazaka is not effective until you have the shtar? Or is kinyan chazaka not the same? It's a machlokes Rashbam and versus Ramban and Ritva. The Rashbam's opinion is that even by kinyan chazaka in a place, kinyan chazaka, even in a place where shtar is written, the chazaka alone is strong enough to affect the kinyan. Whereas the opinion of Ramban and Ritva is that kinyan chazaka, the halacha is also if it's a place where shtar is written, you need to have the shtar for the sale to be final. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashbam and Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Tzadik Bei Sif Tezvav, that the halacha is that by chazaka, even in a place where shtar is normally written, the kinyan is affected with the chazaka alone. The same type of question comes up regarding a kinyan chalipin, which, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, that a kinyan chalipin can be used in the sale of karka. What would be the halacha, a kinyan chalipin in a place where shtar is written? The opinion of the Ritva is that a kinyan chalipin as well, if it's a place where normally shtar is written, the sale is not final until the shtar is written. The Rashba and Rabbeinu Yeruchim disagree, and they say kinyan chalipin is effective as even without the shtar, and the Michas Chinuch says that Tosfos' opinion as well is that chazaka and chalipin are effective without a shtar. So when we learn our Gemara, and the Gemara spoke about the stipulation that the buyer made, and we learned the Gemara, it seems that it's very sided towards the buyer, that the buyer can make the stipulation that he could choose if he wants to rely on kesef alone or does he need shtar as well. So I saw that the Rashba asks, why do we give the buyer this option? Why don't we give the seller this option as well? So explains the Rashba that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that we only give this option to the buyer and we don't give it to the seller. The Rashba says, of course, we give the option both to the buyer and to the seller. The Gemara here is speaking about a situation, points out the Rashba, that the buyer knew the halacha and was able to make this decision. But the halacha would really be in if the seller made a similar stipulation, then of course the halacha would be that the seller could make that stipulation as well. We learned in the Mishnah, Ubishtar. So we learned that a property could be transferred with a shtar. Ask the Gemara Manolam, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara Ilayim Mishum Deksiv. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyah, after the Churban, he says there's going to be a time that Eretz Yisrael is desolate and people think that there's no point in buying property in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show that there's always hope and that Yisrael will be rebuilt, says, V'ksoy b'seif v'chassoyim v'heid edim. Take edim and take a shtar that you bought property. V'amrit, asked the Gemara, how could that pasuk be a good raya? That pasuk is speaking about a shtar raya balmu. It's just a shtar to show that the sale took place, but it isn't a shtar that creates the sale. Ela mehocha, the pasuk says, so the pasuk clearly calls the shtar sefer mikna. So many rishonim ask, the pasuk says ve'eshkula es hakesef. The pasuk clearly indicates that Yirmiyahu paid money. So how can we use this pasuk to teach us that a shtar makes a kinyan? There was kesef over there. So the Rashba answers, look at the words of the pasuk. The pasuk calls the shtar sefer hamikna. What does the pasuk mean by calling the shtar sefer mikna? To indicate that the shtar, the sefer, is what made the mikna. And the money was just there because, of course, you have to pay for it. Amar Shmuel, says the Gemara, this that was saying that a shtar can make a kinyan is only b'shtar matana. So since, when it's a gift, since there's no money being transferred, so you have to have a different way of affecting this transaction, you do it with shtar. Av b'mecher, if regarding a mecher, loikana atshit leidamim, until you pay. It's interesting, Machlok is showing him here as well. He was saying that when it's a sale, the sale is only with kesef, not with shtar. What would be the halacha with chazaka? Does chazaka also have the same halacha, that if it's a sale, there has to be money, and the chazaka alone would not be effective? Or is chazaka stronger than a shtar? The Rajba's opinion is that chazaka can work even without kesef, by a sale, because explains the Ravid. Because what is the, and this way I understand the Ravid. The Ravid says that what is the purpose of a kinyan? So we often say in our shiurim that the purpose of a kinyan is to show gemiras das, to show a seriousness of intent. So what is a chazaka? The chazaka means that the person, the buyer, went down to the field and did an act, as we explained in the Mishnah, of showing ownership on this property. That is considered so serious that even though there was no kesef, it shows ownership. Moser Rav Amnuna asked the Gemara on what Shmuel just said it from a Braisa. The Braisa says, B'shtar, Ketzad, how is a Kenyan shtar conducted kosov law? If the seller writes to the buyer, ala naira, ala cheres, or a piece of paper, or a cheres, ab bishayim bam shava pruta, even though those pieces of paper don't have a shava pruta, he wrote him, sada mechurlach, sadai nesunalach, hareza mechura vesuna, and here it says mechura, so we're speaking about a sale, and we see that shtar could be effective even by a sale. Answers the Gemara, who Moshe Vlar of Hamnuna was the one that asked the question, for who Mefarla, and he was the one that answered. Says the Gemara, somebody selling a property because it's very poor quality, and he's anxious to sell the property. So in that situation, since he's so anxious to sell the property, even though normally a shtar is inadequate to create a kinyan, here, because the seller is so anxious to sell, there will be good enough. Ravashi gives a different situation. It's talking about a case, that it was really given as a gift. And as we just learned, even Shmuel agrees that when it's given as a gift, then it means that then, of course, the shtar is valid, because there's no kesef, being exchanged. So that's why a shtar is effective. So if that's the case, why did he use the words in the shtar? Why did he use words that indicate a sale if it was really a gift? Says the Gemara, because as we spoke at the beginning of the shir, normally when one sells property, it's nechas from shayish l'machrayis, there's, if I sell a property and the property is taken away from the buyer because there was a mortgage on that property, the halacha is that I have to pay back or replace that property to my buyer. But that's only when I sold property to the buyer. But if I gave him the property, so obviously since it was a gift, if that property is taken away from him, I should not be held responsible to have to pay back for if that property is taken away. Teaches us here, but let's say I give the gift and I want to strengthen the gift to the degree that if the property is taken away from the person to whom I gifted the property, he will have recourse back to me. So then in the document, which is the document of the transaction, which really is a gift, I use words that indicate a sale to strengthen the receiver's position that I will have to reimburse him if something happens. Ubechazaka, the next type of kinyan that we learned in the Mishnah was chazaka. Ask the Gemara Manolon, from where do we know that property can be bought with chazaka? Says the Gemara, Am chizki am akra. The pasuk Yirmiyahu tells us that Gedaliah ben Achikam tells those people that were left in Eretz Yisrael after Klai Yisrael went to Golos and Bavel, Ushvu bareichem asher tfashtem. He says, stay in the cities that you tfashtem, that you seized. Says the Gemara b'mat tfashtem. How did you take ownership of those places? Be yeshiva, by showing that you showed ownership in the property. And as the Rishonim point out, that means either you did something to improve the property. That's one way of understanding chazaka. And the other way of showing chazaka is that you actually did something on the property. And both ways are legitimate ways of chazaka. The very Shmuel Tana, the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, when they're going to capture Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk says, "V'yirishtem oisav yishaftem bo." Says the pasuk, says Rabbi Shmuel, what does the pasuk mean to teach us? "B'ma yirashtem?" How did Klal Yisrael take ownership of Eretz Yisrael? B'yeshiva through a kinyan chazakah. We learned in the Mishnah that the chosim she'en l'machrayis metatlin ain nikna el b'mishicha. The only way to take ownership of those properties is mishicha. Ask the Gemara Manolan, how do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara Dixib, because the pasuk says, "V'ki simkru memkala misecha, akadam yad misecha." So we learn from here that the way the kinyan is affected is dava nikna miyad liyad, giving it over from one to the other. Ask the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says dva torah mos kindness, the way even matatan are purchased is with paying. And Mashiach is not midaraisa, mayikla meimer. How do we understand the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah coming to teach us what is effective only midrabanan? Are we having a pasuk that's teaching us midrabanan? Says the Gemara, Tana takanta derabanan. This is a very important rule. And that is, this is the explanation why Chazal instituted that Mashiach should be done and we shouldn't just rely on the giving over of money. Because if somebody purchases metatlan for somebody else, I purchase something from somebody else that's in that individual store. And now, as soon as I give money, it becomes mine. And if Chas v'Shalom, there were to be a fire that would break out in the store, the seller has no desire, has nothing to push him to go save my property. The Gemara calls that, he could say, Nisrafu chatecha balia. Your grain that you purchased from me got burnt. It's not my concern anymore because it's not mine anymore. So in order to avoid that type of a situation where I pay with a deposit and then I leave it in the store, in the warehouse of the seller. The seller, if he knows that until I do Mashiach, which represents much more of me taking the property into my possession, will know that he's still responsible. That's how Chazal made sure that the seller could not absolve himself of that type of a type of responsibility, and that's why Chazal instituted Mashiach. We learned in the Mishnah, Nechasim She'en L'Machrayis, Niknin, which means Metatlin, Niknin, and Nechasim She'esh L'Machrayis, Kesem Shtar B'Chazaka, which, as we learned, the Mishnah introduced a new type of Kinyan, and that's called Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav means that if I'm doing an effective Kinyan on the property, even though these are not effective means of kinyan, as we've been learning in the Mishnah, how to purchase metatlin, but since they're effective on the karka, they become effective for the metatlin as well. Ask the Gemara anonymously. How do we know Kinyan Agav? The Pasuk speaks about what Yehoshaphat gave to his children. The Pasuk says, V'yitin lahem aviyim atonis rabbis, l'kesev ulazov ulamagdonis, im orei miftzeres b'Yehuda. So how did they take ownership of all of these metatlin together with the karka? There's a machlokas rishonim. If we're learning now that Kinyan Agav is a valid kinyan, is that midaraisa or midarabonan? The Ramban's opinion is that it's effective midaraisa. The opinion of the Taisus Rosh is that it's only effective midarabonan. And that's why, in fact, the Ritva says that even though midaraisa avodim hukish lekakos, that the Torah says the halacha of avodim as slaves are equivalent to the halacha of karka, but by avodim we don't say kinyan agav, because kinyan agav is a din de rabbanon, and it's only in a case where it's karka itself that the rabbanon institute kinyan agav, not on avodim which are only a kinyan. There they didn't say kinyan agav. Ketzais also brings an interesting question. Do we say kinyan agav when we take something from hefker? The opinion of the Ketzais is that we do. The opinion of the Nesivus disagrees with the Ketzais is that it doesn't. Ketzais, Rekiv Eger, asks a very interesting question. He says there's a steer in Taisus. In one place, Taisus says that Kinyan Agav is Midaraisa. In another place, it says that it's only Midrabonon. So how do we reconcile, asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, the opinion of Taisus? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says a very big chiddush. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that even though Taisus holds that Kinyan Agav is only Midrabonon, but Taisus says that the halachi is, if there's a kinyan that was only instituted midrabanan, the halachi is that once the rabbanan instituted a kinyan, it has the halachic status of a kinyan daraisa, very bechidish. The Stipler says there's a difference. He says that by matana, kinyan agav is effective midaraisa. By mecher, it's only effective midrabanan. As he says, we have other precedents with different kinyanim, as we've actually discussed in our shir as well. There's precedents that different kinyanim are effective by mechira, not matana, or vice versa. Ask the Gemara. So when we're speaking about kinyan agav, ask the Gemara, ibayluhu, the matatlan that we're buying agav the karka, ask the Gemara, binan tziburin, do they have to, matatlan have to be on that karka? Or do they not actually have to be on the karka for it to be a valid kinyan? So ask Ritva, according to the opinion that they have to actually be there, so then why would we need to have this new kinyan of kinyan agav? Why would we not just say kinyan chotzer? If the metatlin are on the chotzer that I'm actually acquiring, so then that's considered kinyan chotzer. What do we have to have? Kinyan agav. So the Ritva answers that kinyan chotzer is only effective by a chotzer hamishtameris, by a chotzer that's properly guarded. Kinyan agav doesn't need that. So if the chotzer that the metatlin are on is not a chotzer mishtameris, that's when agav would be effective, but not kinyan chotzer. Others explain that kinyan chotzer is valid only in a case where the metatlin come onto my chotzer after I already own the chotzer. But by kinyan agav, the metatlin can become mine together with my purchase of the chotzer alone at the same time. It doesn't have to be that I own the chotzer, the karka already. So the Divrei Yecheskel in Simen Mem Dalid says, what is the question of do we need the metamfim to be on the karka. Do we understand that the reason kinyan agav is effective is because anything that's on the karka becomes secondary to the karka? So since I'm taking ownership of the karka, then it's going to be ownership of the items that are on it because they're all considered bottled to the karka. Or is it a new form of kinyan? Just like by kinyan chalipin, it's considered an act of kinyan and it can take ownership of wherever I own, wherever it is. Here too, maybe what the definition of kinyan agav is explains the Divrei Cheskel and understanding the Gemara's question, is that it's a new form of kinyan, and that form of kinyan, like any form of kinyan, does not need that it should be actually on the property. Amar Rav Yosef Toshma, the Mishnah in Pesach, the Pei, it teaches us, Rekiva Omer, Karka Kal Shehu. Even if you have the smallest piece of property, the following halachas apply. Chayevis Bepeya, you have to leave over Peya from that property. Bikurim, we know that the first fruits of the Shevis Aminim have to be brought as Bikurim, have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and given to the Kohen. Licht of light, prusbol. Midaraisa, the halacha is that Shemitah cancels all loans. But Hill instituted prusbol. And by writing a prusbol, you avoid that problem of the loans being canceled in Shemitah. So the halacha is that prusbol could only be written with somebody who has property. And the Rishonim explain that if somebody has property, that's the kind of loan, that's the type of loan that normally is done. People normally don't lend money to someone who doesn't have property that he could put up as a mortgage. And therefore, only when there's property is it considered a valid prusbol. Other Rishonim explain that the mechanics of prusbol are that anything that's in a prusbol is considered as if the Bezdin already collected it. But it's only considered as if Bezdin already collected it if there is karka that we could say that the collection process has been gone. And continues the Mishnah, Liknas ima in the chosim she'en lamachrayis. It's also, if you have even the smallest amount of property, you could use it for kinyan agav. But ask the Gemara, points the Gemara out, E Amrit bein tzavurim, if we're going to say the kinyan agav is only effective when the object that the metatlin are actually on the karka, so ask the Gemara, kolshu lamai chazi, what can you do with such a small piece of property? Answers the Gemara, that's not a proof, because tergmer shmu ba bista kamei derav kigon shenots ba machet. You put a pin on a small piece of property. Omle Rabbi Yosef, Kavaston. So Rashi explains, Kavaston, that you're bothering me with this answer. Rabbeinu Chananel means that Kavaston means a ganef. You're not being honest. A ganef is someone who's not being honest. You're not being honest with this approach because it's not, nobody, Ech Baltana, would the Tana go out of his way to teach us a halacha that's just relevant to a machat, just to a pin? Answer the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, why is that so bothersome to you? Man leimelon, maybe the pin we're talking about, the loitanaba maganisa, the shavi afil zuze. Maybe this pin that we're speaking about has a beautiful diamond on top of it. And that diamond is extremely valuable. And in fact, the Rishonim point out, we see from here, that even if we'll hold that by kinyan agav, you have to have the metatlin on the property, you don't have to have the entire metatlin on the property. If the pin is on the property, even if the diamond, which is what makes this pin so valuable, is protruding outside of the property, that still would not prevent it from being a valid kinyan agav. Toshma. So again, we're trying to answer the question, when we're going to use kinyan agav, do the metatlin have to be on the karka or not? Toshma. Amar Belozer, Masav Madoni Achad. There was a situation where somebody came from Modon, Shai Bishlaim, that was in Shlaim, Shaila Metatlin Harbei. He owned many Metatlin, Ubikish Litim Matan, he wanted to give them away as a gift. Amaloi, so Chum told him, Ein Loi Takana, how could he affect this transfer? Ach Yiknim Agag Karka, make Kinyan Agav. Ma Osa, what did this person do? Whole of a Kana base seller. He went and bought a small piece of property, Samach Yerushalayim, near Yerushalayim. Vama Tzvayni, the north side of this property, should be Leplayni, to this person who I want to give. Vima Mei Tzvayim Vimei Chavius, and I want to give him also all of these Metatlin animals and barrels, or mace. And then after he did this transaction, the halacha was Kima Dvarov, the halacha is that they made the sale a valid sale. The Rishonim say, from here we see, it seems, that by Kinyan Agav, even if we're going to be lenient with Kinyan Agav, you must clearly identify the property and where on the property you want to do Kinyan Agav. Points out the Gemara, V. Amrit, if you're going to say that in order for Kinyan Agav to be effective, being in Tziburim Bar, that the Metatlin have to be actually on the Karka, base seller, as we just said, the base seller is a very small area, L'may Chazi. Says the Gemara, Mi Savrit, says the Gemara, there's a misunderstanding of the story. Base seller, do you mean that it was a base seller, a very small property? Seller Mamish, that it was only the size of a seller. What does it mean, seller? The Nofish Tuva was actually a very large price of property. So if that's the case, my Carly seller, seller's a coin. Isn't that indicative that it was just the size of a coin? Says the Gemara, what it meant to say was that the piece of property that was bought, Kashi Kasella, was a hard, not inferior piece of quality, inferior quality piece of property. But it was a large piece of property where perhaps all the Metatlin could be put. Toshma, says the Gemara, Domer Yudam Rav, Masabadam Echot, there was an individual that needed to do a Kenyan, Shechola B'Yerushalayim, who became ill in Yerushalayim, and he was a Shchimira. But the halacha they felt was like Rabbi Elazar, that throughout Shas, we have the opinion of the Rabbanon, the Divrei Shchimira K'Ksuvim K'Masurim Dami, that when a Shchimira gives a gift, you don't need to have a kinyan. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar holds that even a shchimera has to have a kinyan. Vamrilei, others say what happened, the story here was bari haye, he was healthy. And even if we follow the opinion of Rabbanon, a shchimera doesn't have to make a kinyan. But a healthy person has to make a kinyan. Shahayla metatlin harbe, and this person had many metatlin. Ubike shlitim metana, and he wanted to give them away as a gift to someone else. Amrloi, so the Chacham told him, Ein like the Kana, Ad Sheyikdim Agav Karka. He has to make a Kinyan Agav. Ma Asa, what did he do? Holi Falokach Beis Roiva. He bought a property size of Roiva Kav, Samach Lushlaim, Vama Tefach HaTefach Leploini, Vama Mei Tzoy V'mei Chavius, V'meis, and then he unfortunately passed away, V'kai Mechamis Devarav. Says the Gemara, V'amrit, if the halacha will be that be'in and tzvurim, that the tatlin have to be actually on the karka, ask the Gemara, tefach al tefach l'may chazi, what could you do with such a small piece of property? Answers the Gemara, hachamai skinen l'dami. He didn't want to give the actual tzoyin and chavis. He didn't want to actually give all of that. What he wanted to do was give value of them, the money. And that could be given even on a small piece of property. Says the Gemara, Hachanami Mestabra, that the story over there is that he just wanted to give the value. Disakadatch made son of Mei Chavius Mamish, that he actually wanted to give this many sheep and this many barrels. Niknanalei, what did he do? Bechalipin, says the Gemara, Elamai. So what are you going to say? Ledemei. So he wanted to just give him the value, the money. Says the Gemara, so why didn't he do Mashicha? Ella, why wasn't that an option? The person to whom he wanted to give the gift wasn't there. Hachinami, that's why Mashiach wasn't an option. The Leisla Mekab Matana, he couldn't do Mashiach because the person to whom he was giving the gift wasn't actually there. But ask the Gemara for Niska Nilegav Acher, why don't you ask somebody else to take ownership on behalf of the person to whom you're giving the gift? Zochel Adam Shlem Mefanov. Says the Gemara, Le'samchadati. He didn't want to rely on somebody else to do the Mashiach on behalf of the person to whom he really wanted to give the gift. He was concerned, Savar Shamat Velochalei. He'll, the person who he's using to affect the Kenyan will keep it for himself. Elamai, says the Gemara, that if that's the case, but there were other options, maybe he didn't like them. Why did the Gemara use the word Ein Loi Takana? Hakama, says the Gemara, what the Gemara meant to say was the Ein Loi Takana, that there were no other options. What was meant to say was Lamai de Lesam Chedate, according to this person's frame of mind, that he doesn't trust anybody else to take ownership on these metatlin on behalf of somebody else, he doesn't trust anybody. There is no Ein Loi Takana, there is no other option, Ad Sheyikneh Agav HaKarka, only to do Kinyan Agav.